Romans chapter 16. It's been a good Thanksgiving weekend. I hope you really did enjoy some time with family. And I'm sure we all ate well. Is that true? Is that true? We all ate well? Okay. All right. Good. Amen. All right. Got some amens. It was good. The Lord provided and we were thankful. We were able to make a quick trip to Charlotte to visit Joanna's brother. He pastors a church in inner city Charlotte, Every Nation Baptist Church, a great inner city work, and got to visit with the family and then Joanna's parents. Well, John's parents too flew in from Minnesota, and so thankful to see them, spend some time. And boy, we did. We ate really, really well. And I told Dad, Ike DeFlesh, that they were enjoying the warm weather down here, even though it was starting to get into the 30s. It was, I believe, 9 degrees back in Minnesota. And so they came down here to enjoy a warm front. We're all frigid outside, right? Like, oh, it's cold. But nevertheless, time with family is precious. And I hope you cherish those times. And then we also got to finish off this Thanksgiving weekend with a great turkey bowl. Great turkey bowl. I tell you, I saw some moves out there I didn't know that our guys had in them. Okay, I'm not gonna name any names, but the initials are AW. Okay, it was Alex Wilson. Did a great job, didn't you, Alex? You put the, yep, you did. You know, you just showed us how to run that ball. You should have seen him, Wes. He was showing us how to do it. Yeah, okay, yeah. You saw the highlights. He's talking about the highlights, wasn't he? That's all right. No, it was good. It was good. We didn't have as many. It was a 7-on-7. We did have enough for that, and had beautiful weather, and we didn't have any serious injuries. We had a couple little things go on, but maybe a little soreness, right, Brother Gary? A little bit of soreness. Nothing too major there. And I tell you, I can't give Gary a hard time, though. I just cannot do it, because I know if I do, I'll pay for it. I really will. And yes, sir. But you know, I am thankful for how the Lord blessed us with a spirit-filled just Thanksgiving weekend, and gave safety to each of us. Tonight, I want to talk about some of God's choice servants, choice people that Paul is going to name here in Romans chapter 16. And we're going to pick up where I left off. We left off at verse 12, but I'll pick up in verse 13. And going to give again these various names. And again, it is special. We should always see names in the Bible as not a waste of space, because we got to remember, when God names people, it just is a reminder that God is a personal God. He cares about people. He cares about individuals. He cares about names. He cares about Lemuel, Brandon. He cares about Jake and Dan. He cares about Sophia. He cares about Brinson. He cares about each of you here tonight. He cares about you. And I thank God that the Lord, nothing escapes the notice of our great God. He's watching over us, and he's helping us and leading us. And I believe, just by Paul listing these names, these are just common people, just like here tonight. We're just here just trying to faithfully serve the Lord together. And so it just so happened that these folks that made an impact on Paul were able to make the scriptures. But there are some that names didn't make it. But that doesn't change anything the way the Lord thought of them. Because you'll notice here times he'll name some names. We'll see this in a minute. He'll name some names, and then you know what he'll do? And greet all those with them. Those people that were with them. Let's begin reading. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. So these brethren, we don't know exactly how many, But obviously, this was a group of believers, and God knows their names, even though we don't. And then verse 15. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Again, there's a group. We don't know all their names, but God knows them, just like He knows your name and my name. And then verse 16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. With the Lord's help tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, A Choice Servant and the Need to Greet One Another. A Choice Servant and the Need to Greet One Another. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts and minds to Your Word. We're thankful already that You've brought us together in this service. Thank You that we can worship in freedom. Oh God, You are an awesome God. And we just want You to lead us in this meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A choice servant. This choice servant that's mentioned here is in verse 13. Rufus. Let's talk about Rufus a little bit. Has anybody here ever met a Rufus in your lifetime? All right. That's a name right there. That's a Bible name. A choice servant. A choice person. That word chosen there in the Lord doesn't mean election in the sense of chosen to be saved or not to be saved. We know that the Lord has put the great general call of salvation to all people. It doesn't even necessarily give connection to the fact that he has believed. What this word chosen there, it carries the idea of a choice person. You know, we will use the terminology many times. Boy, he is a choice man or a choice woman. In other words, somebody that goes over and beyond in serving the Lord. Somebody that's always just ready to be there, to be a blessing, to be a help. And he was distinguished really as of having high quality character, character of excellence. Just striving to be above reproach, not just doing the bare minimum to slide by, and not just walking so close to the edge of sin without stepping all the way over. It's somebody that was just really dependable, and he names this man, and he's essentially he's signifying someone who stands out as somebody that's a real blessing. And I just want to say, this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, that's something we all ought to strive for. That's something we all ought to make it a goal in our life, is someone to be that just goes the extra mile for the cause of Christ. To be an encouragement, to be a help. It's a goal. We fall short, don't we? We really do. But you know what? It's something we can strive for. Been really thinking about that lately. You know, if we aim at nothing, how many times will we hit it? Every time. But I tell you what, if we can make some aims in our life to seek to be a person that's just growing in grace and seeking to go over and beyond what is even expected of me, just to be a blessing. I believe Rufus had that testimony. Where did he learn this? Well, it's interesting, as a lot of scholars agree, many conservative scholars agree, that this is the Rufus that is mentioned by the writer Mark in chapter 15, verse 21. Would you go over there with me? Hold your place there in Romans and go to the Gospel of Mark. Very interesting to note. I find it very encouraging, challenging. Notice Mark chapter 15, verse 20, 21. Oh, I'm in 14.
I'll start in verse 20. This is when Jesus is being mocked and beaten as he's preparing to hang there on the cross for our sins. It says in verse 20, "And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his clothes on him and led him out to crucify him." In verse 21, "And they compelled," means they forced one, the Roman soldiers that is, one Simon Cyrenian, who passed by. He was just coming by that area at this given time, coming out of the country. The father, notice this, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, as you consider the context of this and how you connect it back with Rufus mentioned in Romans chapter 16, there's a direct correlation. Because this family very likely was in Jerusalem. And many of them that came to from Rome, that came to Pentecost for the celebration there, and after the Pentecost that we know of in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the church and filled the individual, a lot of those people stayed in Jerusalem. A lot of those people did, and the Jews did. A lot of them did. Just stayed around that area. But this is speaking, I believe, and very possibly, we don't know 100% sure, but it is likely that Rufus is the son of Simon, the one that helped bear the cross of Jesus Christ. Think of the impact that this daddy had on not only the believers there in Rome, there in Jerusalem, but his own son. Wow. Hey, dads, it speaks really deeply to us. Our children are watching us. And of course, the mothers as well. But this dad, who likely was the one that, even though was pushed, and it's very possible that even as the soldiers pushed him towards this, this man very possibly got saved at that time. There with the marred, almost unrecognizable, the Lord Jesus Christ bearing that cross. And Simon, Rufus's dad, there at that time, very likely came to Christ. And one of the reasons that would lead us to that too is what he's going to say about Rufus's mother. Because obviously, she had a great impact. Some have misinterpreted this. It's not talking about when Paul says Rufus's mother and mine. He's not talking about Rufus being his biological brother. What he's talking about and referring to is that this mother of Rufus likely helped encourage and take care of Paul, even as Paul was a young believer. Some of you could relate here, probably a lot of you, that growing up, maybe you didn't even do it on purpose, but growing up, you almost had a second set of parents somewhere. Maybe it was a friend's parents that when you went in their home, I mean, they just treated you like a son, their own son or their own daughter. You just felt so at home. They loved on you. Maybe you went on trips with them. You just know who I'm talking about. Not everybody has that experience, but you know, maybe it was just like a cousin or something. I don't know, but they just seem to take you right in. Well, Paul is giving a testimony here that this woman, Rufus's mom, really just encouraged me in the Lord. And I want to thank God for you ladies that try to make it a point to be an encouragement to the people in our church. To even in your hospitality and even just trying to be a blessing. There's a testimony here of Rufus's dad and Rufus's mom that were just God-fearing people. They loved the Lord and they just decided we're going to go the extra mile. They decided we're going to be all in. We're going to be all in our walk with God. And boy, it rubbed off on Rufus. It doesn't always. We understand that. Everybody has to grow up and make their own choices, don't they? Man, we really do. We can't force anybody. But I tell you, it made an impact on Rufus. And he's one of those that just kind of stood out. Like, boy, Rufus, man, Paul's like, that guy is a blessing. He just is there to help and encourage. He's got a heart for God. He's got a servant's heart. I just prayed, Lord, help me to be a Rufus. I want to be that way. But it's interesting the impact that would have made. And then as he mentions Rufus, I think of the names that are listed here. Again, as I mentioned, even while reading back to our passage there in Romans, if you marked your place or held your place, I'm going back to Romans chapter 16, where he goes through and lists these names. We don't know a lot about these people. Well, their names are not repeated in Scripture. But they do seem to be leaders, because Paul refers to them as being people and then all the saints which are with them. Maybe these were leaders in the church. Maybe they were separate local assemblies led by these individuals. We don't know all the details there. But nevertheless, he wants them to be greeted. Just faithful people serving the Lord. I'm sorry for being redundant here, but I just, again, want to personally, from my heart to yours, I want to thank you for being faithful to the Lord, Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Thank you for just letting the Lord use you. Thank you for being in your place, just doing what you can for the glory of God, not doing it for accolades, not doing it for a pat on the back. You're doing it because you love the Lord, you want to be a blessing, and you're just growing in grace. I just want to thank you for that. And I understand on a Sunday night, you're not here because it's a popular thing. You're here because it's in your heart to be, and the same, whatever it be, that's for the Lord, whatever service or whatever you're doing, even outside the services. Thank you, church. I can testify of that. I even think of this precious card here of just being a token of what I just said. I know what you do. You're reaching out to people. You're making calls. You're making texts. And just when you kind of, maybe one person's kicking yourself like, man, I didn't reach out like I should. You found out that there's been other of your brothers and sisters that reached out. Because Lord knows we can't do everything, right? You don't need to feel guilty about that. We try to be led of the Holy Spirit and to be mindful of these things. But understand, when everybody's seeking to do that, people are going to be touched. They're going to be reached. And I just want to encourage you to keep that up. Let that grow. I'm looking forward to, I'm so thankful these people that have been visiting our church the past several weeks. I just have been encouraged by seeing you talk to them and embrace them, welcome them in. Let's do that. Let's make a beeline to them. If you don't recognize them, and even if you don't, let's greet them. And speaking of greeting, let's go to the next part of our passage. He closes it here in verse 16. Salute one another. This is a command. He's telling them to do this. He's not suggesting it. This is not just a cultural thing. He's saying, salute one another with a holy kiss. Now, what in the world is a holy kiss? Well, I don't know. I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I don't know for sure. We have an idea. And this is what? Now, it was common in Old Testament times, and even in New Testament times, that a kiss on the cheek was very appropriate. Even a kiss on the forehead was appropriate. Embracing one another was appropriate. Now, think about this. Since it was not uncommon in biblical times and is still common today in many countries, I've told you about the stories there in France. Man, you talk about some culture shock. I started having to give men and women that I didn't know a kiss on the cheek. And I was like, boy, Lord, this is not what I signed up for. And what it was, though, it's just you got to understand. And this is what closest thing I relate to it. It was not anything remotely romantic. It wasn't anything even near that. Basically, what was in France, what's called a bisou, it was basically you would give a touch on each other's cheek. Okay, you would touch right, left, and then you'd do the other side, and you'd touch, and they called it this. Now, this is just the French. What they did, they would make the kissing sound. It'd just be like mwah mwah, and you say, Pastor, we are not going to start doing that. I know we're not. I'm just telling you, it was totally normal for them to do that in greeting time around the church. And when you saw them, especially if you knew them. Now, if you were just meeting someone for the first time, it wasn't always as common. But if it was the second time, it was absolutely appropriate and could be rude if you did not. It would be rude. And so I had always this fear that I was going to go the wrong way and they were going to go the wrong way and it's going to be a kiss on them. Like, Lord, help me. Oh goodness, it's getting warm in here again. It never happened. Thank the Lord. But nevertheless, if y'all ever get a chance, you got to hear a story from Jim McQueen. We're not going to go into that. Brother Jim, you have to tell him your story. I never will forget that, Brother Jim. And he's got a good story on that. But to say all this, it was common. Now, it did stop, if you follow church tradition from what I studied, about 300 or 400 years ago, maybe longer than that, maybe up to 1,000 years ago, that tradition of a holy kiss ceased. And from what I understand is that maybe there was a time where they were going overboard with it, and then it was crossing a line of being inappropriate. But Paul practiced it here and encouraged the church. Peter also did too, because he encouraged, it wasn't just this one instance for Rome. He encouraged the Corinthians to do it, the Thessalonians to do it, and Peter encouraged the believers. He did. He said he called it a kiss of love. He didn't call it a holy kiss, a kiss of love there in 1 Peter chapter 5. And so whatever it was, we don't know exactly sure, but here's the spirit of what I believe God wants us to learn from this. There is something extremely biblical about greeting one another. We happen to do it in America, and I think it's appropriate as we shake hands. I think that's good. I think it's right. Eye contact. And even those that we're really close to, when it's appropriate, giving a hug, giving an embrace. And you know, it's one of those things that I think it can be appropriate. And we have to use discernment. We have to use good judgment on those things. But to discount the fact of giving someone a sanctified embrace as being carnal or sinful, I just think that's wrong. I believe yes, there have been people that have abused that, and yes, they understand that, and you have to be careful with that. You have to be guarded against that. But again, I think the spirit of it is not what you do, whether you give a bisou or whether you give a handshake. This is what is biblical and right. We ought to always seek to greet one another with a word of encouragement, a word of blessing. You don't have to have the physical contact. It's not necessary. It can be a part of the greeting. I make it a habit. I don't know why. I'm more of the communicate by touch and, you know, just affection. I like that. So when I see a brother in Christ, I always make sure to try to reach out my hand and sometimes even embrace like that. I don't know. That's just not everybody's that way. And I'm not saying everybody should be that way. But what I am saying is that giving a genuine greeting to one another is very sweet. It's helpful. And so I want to encourage you to do that even in the church setting. When you see each other, greet one another. Now, don't dominate people's time. You know, that can happen, you know, because you want to greet some other people. And so I think it's good to ask them how they're doing and greet one another. And then maybe look for someone else to greet and encourage. And that's important. But, it's, you know, let's understand this. It's not just in a church setting. It's important to send each other some messages, some text messages, a sister to sister, brother to brother. Just, hey, I'm praying for you, brother. I'm praying for you, sister. How are things going this week? You know, that's appropriate. That's encouraging. And that's greeting one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's keep that up. Let's make it a point to do it. And, you know, we do that also by those that come into our church, as I mentioned a moment ago. Now, if you were to, again, in our culture, we know it's not acceptable, even though we're not going to talk negatively about it. It's not acceptable to do the bizu. OK, we understand that. That's a good way probably to get knocked out in America, you know. But nevertheless, we ought to always reach out to the people that are visitors and give them a welcoming word. Introduce yourself. And I appreciate you making that a point. No doubt about it, as Paul tells them to hear, salute one another with a holy kiss. And notice what he says in the second part, and we must close. He says, the churches of Christ salute you. He's talking about the brethren around him, the brethren in the other cities. The churches of Christ salute you. They send their greetings. I love that. I absolutely love that reminder of when we're talking, is that we just say, tell your family hello from us. Tell them we're thinking about them. That's just the heart that Paul's going after here. So Rufus, his mother, his daddy, just being connected and greeting one another, loving and kind and gracious, that's the goal. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your encouragement. Help us to be people like Rufus, who are just your choice servants going over and beyond the call of duty, seeking to be a blessing, seeking to pray and encourage, seeking to love and just greet one another. So, Father, even tonight as we get ready to dismiss, I pray that we'd be able to practice that. And that, Lord, again, as going forward, our church would grow in our love for you and, Lord, our love for each other. Would you help us, Holy Spirit, in this? Would you help us to be strong in this matter? We need you, Lord. And we just want to give you the praise tonight. For I ask all these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.